there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and happy anniversary to me.
Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
Happy, 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 happy anniversary.
Thank you, Bill the producer and Jimmy the Bubble Boy. Here CJ is going to join us later, which will be good. Okay, so it's anniversary of what? It's not the anniversary of Scuba Radio.
No, that's April 1st.
Yeah, April Fool's Day is our anniversary.
Who could have imagined such a date as that?
And it's strange because what happened literally yesterday was I got the first draft of an article that is going to be in Alert Diver. I've been nominated or I've been named the Dan member profile member. I keep forgetting. Well, let's see. Dan member profile. That's what it is. It's a feature in Alert Diver magazine. And this is going to come out at the DEMA show in November, the issue is. And it's a little rundown of a Dan member, which I have been since day one as being a diver. And they're doing a little article about me, which is awesome. I mean, it's very cool. I'm very honored that they've picked me. And this magazine will come out in a few months or in a couple months, and we'll be good to go. However, They when they interviewed me for the article, they were asking me, age, years diving, your favorite dive destination, these type of things. Kind of like a Playboy centerfold type of rundown thing.
I like kittens, warm nights by the fire.
Right.
Being gently stroked on my inner thought. No. Take that back. Take that back.
You'll have to read the article. Anyway. One of the questions was, how many years you've been diving? I was like, kind of caught me off guard. And I was
most
thinking,
unusual
well,
place you've ever done it?
I got my Dan thing for 15-year certificate a couple months ago. So, I don't know, 18 years, I said.
That was the Patty thing you got a couple months ago.
And when I got the rough draft back yesterday afternoon, I realized, like, wait a minute, something's not adding up right. That doesn't seem right. And I went back and did some checking. And then I realized that I was certified in 91, February of 91. And here I am, 6 months into my 20-year anniversary as a certified diver. And I didn't even know it. How could I let this milestone go by without a massive celebration? Free drinks for me.
Oh, wow. Well, if we had realized it would be a massive celebration, clearly we would have gotten you a gift. Oh, look, I got you this magazine that I found laying around in the studio.
That's better than a stick. go back and listen 2 weeks ago. I brought
it was a
Bill,
wand, Greg.
A wand from London. Just happened to look like a stick out of my backyard. But, I digress. But I got a magazine. Okay, that's nice. Thank you for that thoughtless gift, Bill.
It's not completely thoughtless. I thought, hey, I should have gotten you a gift and saw something laying around that I handed to you.
Yeah, and it's actually, something that looks like something as opposed to...
Right, exactly right.
A piece of wood.
On the flip side,
yeah.
What has your home address on it? So,
Well, so if I lose it, it'll be shipped right to me.
I got you a subscription.
Okay, thank you.
And a centerfold in the middle.
Yeah. But, it got me to thinking, some of my favored dives. And, of course, you know, tomorrow is September 11th. Everybody's kind of in this reflective mode of, you know, where were they 10 years ago? Everybody can tell you. I can do that as well. And honestly, that's one
of the
most...
He can do you one better. He can tell you where he was 20 years ago.
Well, I can. And so I figured, hey, why not today do a little reflection in that frame of mind and reflect on some of these dives that I've been able to accomplish in my 20 years of diving. And if you have one you'd like to share, feel free to do so at 888-88-SCUBA. And who knows, if we like it, we may hook you up with a mermaid puppet t-shirt. I don't know if you've seen these, but we haven't even put them up on scubaradio.com. They are on the Facebook page.
Mermaid Puppet Army.
Yeah.
We are Mermaid Puppet Army strong.
We had some prototypes made, and we actually have one possibly up for grabs today. If you have a good dive story you'd like to share in your history of diving, whether it's 20 years like myself, 5, 3, 2, who cares? Doesn't matter. Or more. Maybe you've been in diving for 50 years. I don't know. But share one of your favorite dives that kind of stood out in your mind as something that you continue to this day remember, first of all, which is a mile. I mean, the fact that I remember the good, you know, some good dives and some bad ones, too, actually.
You make a strong argument.
That says a lot because, you know, after 20 years, it's amazing. I remember what happened yesterday, let alone 20 years ago. But when you have these experiences that we do as divers underwater, whether it's with, you know, some unique critter, like a whale shark or a manta ray or a hammerhead shark, or it's with another diver, you know, this is what it's all about, is making those memories and every once in a while stepping back and reflecting on these experiences you've been able to enjoy and share with your friends. And obviously that might lend to them or that, you know, that excitement that you share for those experiences might end up making them want to do the same thing or try to encounter something similar. Jimmy the Bubble Boy.
Yeah, I remember early dive. It was when I was with Greg, and he actually used Kelly the Brazilian bikini model as a shield for sharks.
A human shield. Kelly the Brazilian swimsuit model claimed she was a human shield when we saw sharks.
It was great.
I deny that accusation. Not saying that it isn't true.
I hate to jump in here, but I'm going to come to your defense. And I hate doing that, but it is your big day.
Yes.
So as a gift to you, I will come to your defense.
All right.
It is not fair to describe a Kelly the Brazilian swimsuit model as a human shield. Because she was not going to block the shark.
True.
She was a snack. She was like a Scooby snack for the shark. She would actually be fed. She's not big. She would be fed to the shark, and that would sate his appetite long enough for you to escape. And that is not the same as a shield.
Yeah, well, and for the record, yeah, it was not. She was not used as a human shield. She really was used as bait. So, you know, to this day, she claims I was using her as a shield because I'm some kind of shark wuss, but that's not true.
Absolutely untrue.
To the sharks.
Yes.
And if I can offer up a swimsuit model to bring him in closer for a picture, hey, so be it.
And the both of you knew you were safe because you'd heard the sharks were man-eaters.
Exactly. True that. That's what I explained to her. It didn't keep her from almost choking me underwater, though. But,
interesting.
But, you know, what are you going to do? But that is a very memorable dive.
Her eyes got as big as pie plates.
Yeah. Now, 10 years ago, the week of September 11th, I was in Louisiana with our buddy Chad Barbe. Matter of fact, Chad called me up before the show today to remind me this. Hey, man, you remember where we were 10 years ago today?
And you said,
I do.
Let me think about that.
I'll never forget it. As everyone else, I happened to be scuba diving that weekend in the off the coast of Louisiana of the oil rigs. And it was one of the first times I went spear fishing. Didn't do very good.
Actually, you went spear diving, and there's a more than subtle difference between spear fishing and spear diving. You went diving with a spear gun.
This is true. I didn't get.
It's not spear fishing unless you catch something.
Right. I wasn't spear catching. I wasn't spear spearing.
Yes.
Yeah, I was spear spearing.
One of the things that's unusual about spear fishermen is they do not practice catch and release.
True. And, however, it was.
You just practiced release.
I did, because I ended up feeding the fish. And, because we were in a very small boat, had to go like 12, 20 miles offshore, some ridiculous thing, in this small little, like, 20-foot boat. I remember that vividly. Tried to block it out for as much as I possibly could. And unfortunately, because of September 11th, it will stick in my mind forever. That that was a weekend where I was deathly ill and didn't catch any fish. If that wouldn't have been the case, may have blocked that one out. But there you go. I was diving. That's where I was 10 years ago. And good or bad, I remember it for what it was. Now, however, there are some other dives, and this is where it kind of, you know, you kind of reflect back. It's like, okay, I definitely have a few that are big standouts. But I got to tell you about my first dive. I don't know that I've ever talked about this a lot on Scuba Radio.
No, I think I've heard about your 10th dive more than your first dive.
True. And it surprises people because it kind of sucked. And I'll tell you why. Next, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExploreVentures.com. That's ExploreVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry. And at an affordable price, go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Scuba diver. 20 years ago, I became a certified diver. Just realized it yesterday. So yes.
Hold on.
In a celebratory mood, and part of me is feeling very depressed because I feel old.
I'm confused by something though.
What's that?
20 years ago, you became a diver, and you just realized it yesterday.
Yes.
You just realized yesterday that you're a diver. That seems odd to me.
No.
I see you every Saturday for 13 years, and just now you realize you're a diver.
CJ just walked in. What do you think, CJ?
I believe that he did just walk in.
I think that if you shouldn't be depressed. Shouldn't feel old. If you've been lucky enough to have 20 years of diving,
yeah,
then just that's a blessing. That's awesome.
It is. It very much is. But, you know, still, you kind of think, oh, my God, 20 years. I thought it was only 18. Now it's 2 years older. Oh, my God.
Oh, wait till Max turns 20.
Shush. Stop. Shut it right now. Anyway, so I'm reflecting on some of my most memorable dives in my 20-year diving career today. I figured, why not? And one of the dives that I don't talk about a lot on Scuba Radio, You know, we'll be celebrating our 15th year in April.
Now, is this because of the restraining order?
No, no, no. Just because, you know, usually we try to celebrate the positive aspects of scuba diving. And that's probably why I don't talk about my first dive very much.
Oh, was it bad?
It kind of sucked. Yeah. And I mean sucked in a bad way, not in a diver way that, you know, we suck through a regulator and we have to do that to survive.
You didn't get bent, did you?
Nope, didn't get bent.
You can't bent. He's already bent.
Here's the deal.
He's mentally bent.
I get certified to scuba dive. And my first dive as an official certified PADI open water diver is at a place called Crystal River, where they have manatees. Now, this is in like February of 2000. What?
2000?
91.
Wow.
Right. February 91.
Wow, you're doing this math in your head, are you?
Yeah, I'm trying to, like, we're 20.
Manatee,
nice work.
Molestation.
Good thing he's not an accountant.
Carry the three over. And, yeah, 91. And so it's cold in Florida, believe it or not, in February. It can get cold. In that particular day, it was like in the 30s. And this is our first dive. The dive shop had set it up, said, okay, you guys are divers.
On the plus side, the water's 72 degrees.
Right, because it's a spring. That's where these
manatees
go.
And it's full of manatee poop. Which makes it even warmer.
And manatees as well. They were there, supposedly. However, that day, because it was raining and drizzly, it was right at freezing, so it wasn't,
Are
you
suggesting the manatees were afraid to get wet?
Well,
so
the visibility
in the rain?
Was really low.
Don't the fish eat the poop?
It's possible. I don't know.
I don't know.
Greg shrinking.
They swim through it, though, for sure. And there were fish, there were manatees. We saw a couple manatees on our way out to the site, but you couldn't really see much because the visibility was maybe...
Visibility's bad if you can't see a manatee.
Three feet.
Isn't that a spring-fed?
It is, but yes. Still, because of the rain.
It was raining and the manatee poop.
And the fact that it was so cold, we didn't know what to expect as far as what to wear. We didn't have the proper, wetsuits. And we didn't.
Would you have a 3 mil
boat? Yeah, maybe. I think we might have had a 3 mil.
Oh man!
And so a 3 mil, which was fine for 72 degrees,
but not for 30 degrees.
Yeah,
we should have brought extra dry clothes. I mean, people were on this pontoon boat on the way out, and especially on the way back, literally shivering.
Not a positive experience.
We did not see any manatees when we got in the water. Couldn't see hardly anything except other people's butt every once in a while when they swam into your way, because they couldn't see. You couldn't see each other, And so we do the dive.
Some of the people had very large butts. Don't get that confused look, CJ.
Come back.
A likely story.
Everybody is freezing.
I'm just wondering why you would dive when it's so freaking cold.
Well, we didn't know
because it was scheduled.
Yeah.
It was planned, and it was part of their dive instruction.
Yes. Well, it wasn't part of dive instruction. We were certified, but the dive shop had set up this group tour to go dive the manatees is your first dive. And so we're like, yeah, we'll go with the group. But here's the kicker. So we come up out of the water after this dive where we don't see anything. We're freezing. Everybody is shaking. And then the captain on the boat decides, hey, I'm going to take us on a scenic route on the way back to the dive shop. It might add another half hour, but we're going to cruise down here so you guys can take a look around. Everyone's like,
After he was murdered, where'd you hide his body? Where'd you hide the body?
Bet it to manatees.
Well, I don't know if the fish eat that poop, but I think they eat human flesh.
Piranhas.
See, now, this is the disadvantage which CJ, James, and I all have, because we started our dive experience with Scuba Radio.
Yes.
So we knew there were all kinds of great places to go diving, all kinds of great water to dive in. We kind of, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but we don't understand people that dive in water that's not, 100 foot of visibility and 80 degrees. We just don't understand it. It's not something which fits inside
madness,
of our brains.
Madness.
Because we know all the great diving there is to have. He didn't have that benefit.
No.
He did not have the benefit of knowing that he'd be on a second dive, let alone.
This is a reason why God created TV. Because, when I experienced this nightmarish first dive as a.
Was that in the Bible?
Diver, it might have been that I knew from watching
TV. He begat
TV
the cathode ray.
That it had to, I've seen these things on Discovery Channel, and I'd seen like they're diving through this gin clear water in the middle of the blue, and I'm like, wait a minute, It's not supposed to be this crappy.
This is like a septic tank.
Right. What is going on here? And so I knew it had to be better than this. And so I was like, all right, I got to give this another shot. And so I hung in there. And as I have talked about many times on the show, it wasn't until probably about 10, 15, 20 dives into my certification where finally the water cleared and I got into a situation that you do see, you know, on TV, or you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I'd gotten through all the learning curve of being comfortable with the equipment where you actually get to open up and look around you and really soak
it in. Okay, Greg. So what
and have your zen moment.
So what was your first cool dive?
Well, okay, that would have been that dive, and I don't forget that one. That was in West Palm Beach, and me and the wife and this other couple ended up kind of teaming together. We were, you know, it was kind of like still a guided dive.
I was asking about the dive.
Yeah.
There were no muffins involved. However, we had a...
breakfast.
We had this group dive set up, and so me and the wife were following this other couple. You know, kind of like, and we're assuming they're following the dive guide because the visibility was probably about 30, 40 feet, clear enough where you could get a good, you know, a view of the ocean. And it was very blue that day. And all of a sudden, you know, you find yourself in this blue abyss and you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. You know, but then I look at the other couple and I'm like, okay, where are we going? And they look back at me and kind of give me the, I don't know, where are we going?
We thought you were leading.
Exactly. We got separated from the group.
Oh, we're out of time.
It's like the Emmys.
Yeah. We'll explain it.
Play them off.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
Palm Beach, I had my zen moment where I looked around, the water's blue, I felt like I was in a Discovery Channel TV show, you know, diving with Jacques Cousteau, and then I looked forward at the other couple that we thought were leading or watching the dive guide, and they kind of looked back at me and shrugged and go, I thought we were following you, and we realized we were lost. So I went from zen special moment to almost sheer panic.
Well, you can't put that on, you were following them, you should have been following the dive guide.
I was having my zen moment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so once again, you know, and honestly, I didn't freak out too much. I figured, hey, we haven't swam that far.
Hand signals,
they can't be that far away from the boat and that kind of thing. So, you know, we did our dive and it was no big deal at all.
But, by the way, Greg is now legendary for his ability to navigate underwater.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
navigate in what, like in the wrong way?
No, shush, just quit it. Let's just stop right there.
Quincy McGill.
Starting with his 10th dive, he's been so comfortable underwater, he doesn't really matter where the boat is in respect to where he is. He feels he'll be able to find his way back by swimming to the surface, finding the boat.
You know what's a classic move? When I was really new, and we'd be out in the open water, out in the ocean, and I'd always run out of air first because I'm an air hog. And I'd motion towards Greg, where's the boat? And he'd point really confidently, and I'd feel better. And then immediately after the point,
yeah,
he'd give me like a shrug, hands up, shoulders like, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
So then I'm like, do I follow that or what do I think?
Well, no, see, that's part of the benefit of being more experienced. You can punk.
You were punking. Most of the time, he had the right general direction. So if I just took off that way, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
This is why, and I learned this my very first dive with Greg, memorize that dive site drawing so that you have some point of reference right when he finally abandons you to your own devices.
Yeah, you guys are a bunch of complainers. All right, Dan Tipp is next. We're going to talk about drinking and diving. Not what you think. The proper thing to do. Hydration. And then we got more coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, diver's consumer tip number 215. No matter how badly you want to impress that hot babe on the dive boat, it's never a good idea to use the boat's propeller to grab a quick shave. So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio is Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer at Ford Divers Alert Network. Care for a drink, Nick?
Yes, please. Got any water?
Feeling a little parched from the plane, are you?
Yeah, it's amazing. Even a short flight can make you really feel dried out.
Guess we better get you hydrated before we dive, you think?
Yes, you know. Diving and dehydration are a bad combination.
How about making it our tip today?
Sounds like a good idea.
Where do we start?
Well, the first thing to remember is that sometimes hydration is not necessarily about how much you drink, but rather what you drink.
Quality over quantity.
Exactly.
But doesn't quantity matter?
It does, in that you need to drink on a regular basis, so you replace fluids as they deplete. If you wait until you actually feel thirsty, you've actually gotten to a point where you're a bit dehydrated.
Can you just drink a massive amount of fluid at that point to make up the difference?
You can, because it's good to get the fluids into you. But understand that it won't immediately solve the problem. Both dehydration and rehydration are a cumulative process and take time.
How long?
It can take days on either side. That's why it's better always to drink hydrating fluids on a regular basis, to maintain a constant balance.
What do you consider hydrating fluids?
Well, water is definitely the best way to go. But if you're traveling outside the country or you're in unfamiliar areas, stick to filtered or bottled water.
Come on, water's boring.
Yeah, but it's the best for you. But if you want a little flavor, try a low-glucose, balanced electrolyte sports drink.
Well, what about coffee, tea, and that sort of thing?
Caffeine and alcohol can both contribute to dehydration, so I recommend avoiding them if you can.
Seriously? No coffee? And no beer? I don't think so.
Okay, I know. There's a big difference between a recommendation and reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like you have to, or you want to, partake in a caffeinated or adult alcoholic beverage, try to keep it to a minimum. And at the very least, drink water along the way to minimize the dehydrating impact.
Back to water.
It's the good stuff.
I know. Is there anything else?
You can try having a snack with your water.
A snack? What does eating have to do with hydration?
Believe it or not, eating regularly contributes to the balance your body seeks. It's a fairly involved explanation, but the basics are that if you do nothing but drink large amounts of water without ever introducing other nutrients, it can actually create an imbalance over time, just as not drinking enough water can.
It's like anything else in life, isn't it? It's all about the balance.
That's the way of the world. But in the case of hydration, it's one of the easiest balances to achieve. Just feed your body with good choices as a regular practice, and it'll take care of what it needs to maintain the balance.
Nice. Sometimes hydration is not about how much you drink, but what you drink. Make smart hydration choices and make them regularly. Stick to water and low-sugar sports drinks and don't forget to fuel with food. Do that and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy.
He's at home, yep.
Today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
20 years of diving, that's what I'm kind of talking about a little bit today as I reflect on some of my most memorable dives. And just realized yesterday that I've been a certified scuba diver with the PADI organization for 20 years. I just didn't know it. It was one of those freakish things that kind of snuck by me. I'm actually 6 months into my 20th year as a diver. What happened? What happened, CJ? What?
Time flies when you're having fun.
I guess it does.
If I could trot out an old cliche.
No, I would prefer you don't do that.
Anyway. Too late.
Okay, sorry. All right, Big Wave
Dave. I can
Dave.
Make it older for you if you'd like.
We used to say Tempest Fugit when I was a kid.
Tempest Fugit?
Fugit.
Oh, okay. Anyway, Big Wave Dave is on the line from Via Diver Pool.
Time flies.
And Dave, I Tempest know you have a lot of memories. How many years have you been a certified diver?
Well, you're just a puppy. I'm at actually a little over 35 right now.
Oh, man.
I've been an instructor for over, I've actually been a course director for about 20-some years. So
really?
Let's leave it at that.
My God, he's like 73 now. Dave.
Hey, I'm not that old. I just hit a big 50th this year.
No, so. Well, that's right. No, he was certified when he was 5. So yep. He's in his 40s, I'm guessing.
Yeah, our John Michelle, I had the kids going at 4. They beat me by a year, you know?
Wow. Okay. Well, I know in those years you're still as passionate today about diving as you was as you were when you began diving. And,
oh, you got that right. I mean, besides diving almost every weekend in the pool, teaching people out in the Via Diver Pool. I've also this year been to the Philippines. Just got back from Bonaire with our Wounded Warrior trip. And better yet, last weekend doing some local diving in the quarries, doing some geocaching.
Yeah, this geocaching thing. We got this dive caching thing that the DEMA organization is helping to promote. I know there's a big $1,000 contest going on right now. But you're in Wisconsin. And you were diving a local quarry, and you did a dive cache. Is that what you did, or what?
Well, actually, earlier in the spring, as we started the Be a Diver dive caching program, I put a couple caches down, and a father and son team who just got certified, they've been geocaching forever, gave me a call and sent me an email and said, "Hey, can you come join us? And we want to go look for your cache." So I kind of just went out there to give them a helping hand, being newly certified divers, and it was an awesome weekend. They found the cache. They shot some video, hopefully they'll enter into our prize, and better yet, the freshwater jellyfish were out in the quarry, so the 15-year-old son, he got some great pictures.
Nice. Now, CJ has this confused look on his face, this dive cache, this geocaching thing we're talking about. It's kind of like an underwater treasure hunt for those people who don't already know, but you can
love
get coordinates on online. And I think it's divecaching.com, isn't it? Is that the website?
Yeah, they can go to our Facebook at Be a Diver, but geocaching is actually where you register the products. They can actually do a search on divecaching.
Okay, okay.
And basically what people do, dive stores do, is we've sent out geotags to every DEMA member and asked them to plant them using your GPS. You can actually attach your GPS to a float, go out your coordinates, sink down, put it underwater, log those coordinates, and hopefully people will go do it. In fact, I know there's a big group in Florida that does Florida dive caching.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're doing it all around the world. It's pretty a unique thing. Matter of fact, I was alerted to this for the first time when I was on a Sable liveaboard trip a few years ago, and that's where we're going next week. We'll talk about that in just a bit, but that was the first time I had ever heard of this geocache thing, and we were sitting at this bar at the top of the island of Saba, and this couple walks in with backpacks, and they walk right past us straight to the bar, and they ask the bartender, "Hey, do you have a geocache?" And we're like, "What's
yep,
going
they're all
on
over
there?
The place, be it."
And he pulls out this box.
Air, there's some in space, there's some underwater, and some on land. You know,
yeah. So it's a box of knickknacks, and basically they open it up, and there's these little trinkets inside this box, and they took something out and they put something in. So is that what you did on your geocache there that you did last week?
The guys that found the cache basically put down one of their pins into our little traveling gnome that sits underwater, and hopefully somebody will go find that. A couple people log into different ones that find.
So you got a little underwater box underwater? Is that what you did, or is it just free floating?
A dry box. You can use something like a Tupperware thing. You know, just depending on how waterproof you want to make it.
Right.
You could have something fun to attach it to, like maybe a little traveling gnome. One of the other quarries, there's a big concrete alligator. They've used that for geocaching. All kinds of fun stuff.
Just little knickknack thing, a keychain or a little note, money. You could leave money if you want, I guess,
hey, if
too.
If you want, you know.
It's wide open, whatever you want to do. But that's the idea. You leave something, you take something. Is that the idea, right?
You know, that's the biggest idea. But biggest of all, you get $1,000 if you go out and do some dive caching. Videotape it under 2 minutes. You can get all the information from our Be a Diver site. Submit it, and we're giving $1,000 cash away. Come on,
sweet. Well, there you go. See, if you don't find cash in your dive cache, you might win some for filming the adventure. It's kind
of
like
real cash. And, you know, keep in mind, it's all part of the Be a Diver program, just like the Be a Diver pool. Travels around the United States, introduces people to diving all over the place. Getting ready to leave out to the West Coast there, do the AARP convention next week in 2 weekends. Then I'll be coming up to the East Coast, hitting Atlanta, and, of course, the DEMA show in Orlando, and then out to Dallas.
Yeah, now are you going to do any geocaches there at the AARP convention, or are you afraid they won't remember where they put it?
Hey,
hello,
you know,
yes, thank you.
I'm
joking.
The AARP thing is life after 50.
Yes.
You can be 50 years old, join ARP, and hey, there's a lot of divers in their 50s, 60s, and still diving in their 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
Neil Monson.
Yes, well, exactly. I joke, but, you know, it's kind of interesting. Last year, we went to the AARP convention. It was here in Orlando because I knew they had the pool set up. We're like, what is going on? And it actually, they were pretty hip folks there. It's quite a happening show.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Bula, that's the greeting you get from the smiling, generous Fijians who welcome you to Fiji. And while Fiji's friendly people, white sand beaches, rainforest, and waterfalls are a huge draw for any traveler, divers in the know consider Fiji the soft coral capital of the world. With direct regular flights from LAX on Air Pacific, it's never been easier to live your Fiji experience. Go to FijiMe.com to book dive packages from backpacker to five-star spa resorts. That's FijiMe.com.
Can't you feel them closing in, honey? Can't you feel them schooling around? You got fans to the left, fans to the right, and you're the only girl in town.
Hello there, this is Dr. Sylvia Earle, and this is Scuba Radio, the first radio program devoted exclusively to diving.
Dr. Sylvia Earle is going to be in Orlando next week. I think Bill, the producer, while we're in Saba, is going to try to sync up with her and maybe do a little catch up with her for the show. We will see how she's doing. By the way, beadiver.com, catch up with Big Wave Dave, and you can find out where the Be a Diver pool is going to be and ask him about geocaching. And who knows, maybe go get in the Be a Diver pool and maybe plant a cache right there in the pool when he's not looking. Leave him a gift.
I try to go to the restroom before I dive.
No, not that kind of cash.
Oh.
I don't think that'll win you a prize. Who knows? If you videotape it. Like, hey, it's a geocache. No, that looks like a Baby Ruth. Clear the pole. I don't know. That could make a pretty good video, though. You need a 2-minute video. $1,000.
Look like a shark being born.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. All right. So.
Mud shark.
We are hopefully going to sync up with Clay because he is the man behind Explorer Ventures. And next week, we are going to be in St. Kitts, on the island of St. Kitts, as we get ready to board the CX2 Liveaboard and go from St. Kitts to St. Martin, stop off in Saba in the middle for a Liveaboard. The next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise, it's going to be quite an adventure. Dan Orr is going to be on board to do a little seminar stuff with us from Divers Alert Network. One of my favorite itineraries for a liveaboard vacation ever. I think this will be my fourth time. Clay is on the line now. Clay, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you, Greg?
I'm good. I think this will be my fourth time. You know, after 20 years of diving, it's hard to remember these things. You know what I'm saying? But I'm pretty sure this is my fourth time on this itinerary, and probably my favorite. I mean, you probably didn't know this, because if you would have known this was my fourth time, you'd probably say, well, okay, we don't want him on again. You'd think by four, you'd learned your lesson, but you're going to let this one slide one more time, huh?
Well, I haven't warned the crew that you're coming down yet, so they're still happy.
Yeah, well, I heard JF is going to be the captain. And
JF just got down there today.
That is awesome. And, you know, he's been on a couple of our trips before. Awesome guy. And I'm glad to hear he's going to be on board. We'll be able to catch up with him and have some fun. So it's going to be a big time. I know. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have our little Dan seminar. Dan Orr is going to give something, a seminar on board the boat, or maybe when we're on Saba. And that's going to be a little added value thing for everybody, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a lot going on Saba in terms of dive travel and the diving industry as a whole, with the chamber there and all that. So they're awful excited to see him, and you, of course, but mostly him.
Yeah, well, of course, mostly him. And Mermaid Tony, she's going to be on this boat as well. So I know she's very excited about that. Is that what? Oh, that's the Mermaid Tony song.
They're mermaid singing in the background.
Mermaid Tony. Yeah, that's CJ doing the Mermaid Tony song that she doesn't like.
It's almost irresistible, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll leave that live for now. But yeah, you know, one of the things we're talking about today, Clay, is that I realized yesterday that I am in my 20th year as a certified diver. I did not know this until I was doing an article for Divers Alert Network, and they had asked me how many years I'd been diving, and I had told them, I think it's been like 18. But when I got the proof back, I realized after I did more research that I'm actually in my 20th year as a certified diver, and I'm reflecting back on some of my most memorable dives. And I got to say, many of them are off of your boat. That's what it's all about when you do these liveaboard trips, is creating memories for divers, right?
Well, you certainly come back with some great stories, I'll tell you what. I mean, and you know, of course, I've been diving off my boats mostly for the last 25 years now.
Yeah.
And so pretty much all of my great memories of diving are off my boats, but it's always wonderful to hear everybody's stories about things they saw and adventures they had while they're on board. It's always fun.
Yeah, I mean, some of them we can't talk about, but they still are very memorable, and when you get a group of divers together and put them on a boat for a week, it's bound to produce one or two great dives, at least, if not many, but memorable experiences and relationships and bonding opportunities that you just don't get on any kind of other dive vacation. That's a pretty universal thing you get from your passengers, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, of course, you learn a lot. I mean, I certainly learn something every time I'm down there, as I'm sure you do. But you know, every trip has usually a mixture of, you know, very experienced divers, people that are new to the industry and the sport, and you know, it's a great way to pick up tidbits from people that have been doing it a long time in various different parts of the world. Whether it's, you know, somebody in the Caribbean that's never dealt with a reef hook before, or you know, something like that. There's it's a great way to force yourself into a lot of interesting conversations with people that know a lot more about certain areas of the world and certain aspects of diving than you do.
Every liveaboard I've ever been on, Clay, has had a small group of loud, obnoxious people and everybody else just staring at them and giving us dirty looks. That's really been my experience. Is it like that on every dive trip?
Just the ones you go
on.
Well,
you know, I mean, when you limit yourself to only trips that you've been on, then, you know, I think we've got a common thread going.
Yes. Yeah. It was funny. It wasn't like that in the Maldives, Bill, but you weren't on that one. Oh, wait. Actually, it was. What am I talking about? But you're right. That I love the social aspects of the liveaboard dives, because, like you said, we were in the Maldives a few weeks ago, and we had people from Poland, from Budapest, from the U.K., just all different parts of the world, and hearing their perspective on their dive experiences and just the world in general.
And allowing Greg to be an international ambassador for the United States. It's perfect!
Okay, we may have had an international incident or two over the years, but that's just part of the experience. That just goes with the territory, And that's what it's all about. Liveaboard diving, definitely the way to do it. ExploreVentures.com. Clay, thank you for allowing me back on the boat. 2 weeks from today, we will broadcast from your CX2 vessel. I know it's one of your personal faves, right?
It is, but you better show up a week from today, otherwise you'll be late.
Oh, wait, that's right. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, but the show that we broadcast, yeah. I thank God I got him to keep me in line.
That's
good. I don't want to miss the boat, literally, do I? All right, yeah, exploreventures.com, 1-800-322-3577, book your adventure now. Hour two is on deck. Jerry Beatty from Dive Training Magazine and Martin Stepanek, world record freediver, coming up in hour two. Stick around.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.